I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. He gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, about his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me into victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing a fair song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
That was Victory in Jesus, and this is the program that focuses on the hope we have in Jesus Christ, and this is called The Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Vroman of Accutan, Alaska, Safe Harbor Church. Hopefully you're doing well on this day. I'm so glad you are with me on this wonderful program as we look, like I said, we get together, we listen on the radio. It's apradio.org. Maybe you're listening online, give you a shout out. If you want to get a hold of me, it's MATHEWV as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N. Hey, I got a couple jokes for you. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. What did the grape say when it got crushed? Nothing. It just let out a little wine. How do you know which pepper is the busybody? It gets jalapeno business. Why can't you trust an atom? Because they make up everything. Isn't that good? No, those are, I know, corny. Let's get back to the program. So we're here. We talk about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I try to do different genres of music, different themes. Well, the theme today is going to be victory in Jesus. He is King. And then we're going to be studying from the Gospel of John, John chapter 12, verse 12, if you want to turn to that. And let me pray. And then let's continue with a great song that meditates on Jesus is King. Lord Jesus, thank you again for this opportunity to praise you. I pray you would bless everyone that's listening. We would be encouraged to trust you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, the first time he came as a helpless little baby. But the next time he comes, my friend, he's gonna come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that day, every eye shall see, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is indeed Lord. And the marketplace in downtown Birmingham is going to be empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In our great courtrooms, no more debate. Cause work on earth has been suspended, my friend, as the King comes through the gate.
The King is come. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming, great God, he's coming for me. And happy faces are gonna line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, and broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free, little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow, and those who were crippled, broken and ruined, now clad in garments white as snow. The King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see.
In Birmingham, I want you to get your hands together in praise and celebration for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng, and the flurry of God's trumpets of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand stands all in place, heaven's choir is now assembled.
I always loved Bill Gaither. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's written so many classic songs because he lives is one of them. He wrote with his wife. There's so many more. That was Bill Gaither and his band, his group, his number of singers. It's an amazing show if you ever get a chance to go. He had the older people in the palm of his hand. He started singing. They were just clapping, standing up, singing. It was an amazing, amazing concert we heard in Kentucky. We met with Jesus. It was so powerful. As I said, we're talking about Jesus as King. Think about that. All the world leaders, all of them, different ones have different levels of power, but nobody has all power. Everyone, eventually, their leadership, whether through elections or by death, is over. And they will not continue to be the leader forever. All the great empires, they end up crashing. But there is one who is returning, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all this mess in this world, he is going to clean up. He's going to punish the wicked. He's going to redeem the saved. Hallelujah. Return, Lord Jesus. I don't know if you remember this or you know this. I just thought of it. Why don't I turn to the last verse in the Bible? Listen to this. Do you know the last verse in the Bible? Do you know the last verse in the Bible? I've got a good verse for you. In fact, I was thinking that's a really good title, the last verse in the Bible. Well, what do you think it is? Here it is, the last, very last verse in the Bible. It's so important. My pages, it's a newer Bible. My old Bible fell in the water. It fell in a puddle. So here it is. He which testified these things, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That is it, about him returning. And victory does belong to Jesus.
Who will stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who will stand against our King? No one can. No one will. Oh, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to you.
some things, but declare it now. Say, oh. Doesn't matter what I used to be. Say this. They might have said that it was cancer. It doesn't matter. Oh. Guess who the victory belongs to? Victory belongs. Victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Really soft demand, really soft.
Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him.
Crystal.
Victory belongs to you.
I think you probably guessed that that is the genre of gospel music. But I hope you stayed through the whole thing. Longer song. That was Todd Delaney. Victory Belongs to Jesus. You can remember that. Victory Belongs to Jesus. And it's true. He is going to return. He conquered sin. The victory is in his hands. The victory in his hands. That gives us great hope. When you're stressed, remember who has the victory. King Jesus, our Lord.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt.
Will all bow down when you breathe. There is life, the dead raise up from the ground. We're gonna lift you higher, we're gonna give you praise. You're gonna reign forever and always over the fears that we're facing, over the prayers that we're.
That was Jesus is King by Selah, S-E-L-A-H. I hope you were blessed. Great group. We are continuing through the Gospel of John, And do you realize Jesus clearly came to Jerusalem as a king, not the returning king in the way he would return? But I want you to meditate on this passage with me. I'll read it, and then we've got another song coming up about Jesus is King. John 12:12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon. As it is written, Fear not, daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this
miracle. The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. That same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. That was a fun song, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Great message. Well, what am I talking about? Jesus comes into Jerusalem before the Passover. Before the Passover. What we see here, it says on the next day from the previous day that he had written about, and that was 6 days. So this puts this at Sunday. 6 days, so it'd be five. This Sunday or Monday before the Passover will happen. That's the Jewish festival. And we see here that everybody is in Jerusalem. Let me give you a little information about Jerusalem during this time. Jerusalem would have had a population of about 55,000 people. So think of a city that you know, 55,000. And there's many different debates. I mean, some said 25, 30, but let's just say 55,000, because one historian did. Some people said there was during this time it would swell up to 1 million. Most likely, it was probably between 150 to 250,000 people. So we go from 55,000 to over around about 200,000. That's a big jump. And Jerusalem is not a big area. It's 1 square mile during this time. So the people are coming up to the feast, the Passover feast. And they're coming early. And why are they coming early? Because in Exodus, they had to get their animal picked out before, a few days before they're going to sacrifice it. Passover is the time when they remember how God delivered his people out of Egypt. They put blood on the doorpost, and then the angel of death passed over. The angel passed over. Okay. Now, look at what happens in chapter 12, verse 12. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So there's just lots of people. Jesus is to talk. The Pharisees have already decided they're looking for Jesus to arrest him. everybody's talking about Jesus and who he is and what he did. Well, when they hear Jesus is actually, because he's coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. Now, a couple things about this passage. I'm just going to summarize it. A key starting point. Look down at verse number. I'm trying to see where I'm lost now. Verse number 16, sorry. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. So they, the disciples, the men that hung out with him, they didn't understand this when they were going through it. But now, later after he died on the cross, they understand and rose from the dead. But what basically this is Jesus is offering them to him as king. Now he's going to return to judge the world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be too late then to, you're going to bow regardless if you don't want to or not. But here he's offering them as king. And what I want you to do is we're going to do some meditation on what kind of king is Jesus in this passage. And the first point I noticed was a king who's coming. Jesus knows he's going to die this week. This is Sunday, Monday. He'll be dying on Friday. So he knows that's going to happen. And I just think he's a king that shows up when it says he came to Jerusalem. He's coming to his people that he knows they're going to reject him. Even though it sounds like they accept him, you'll see that that's not true. But the point is, I want you to understand that Jesus is the king that is coming. Let that hit you. He's the king that has come and will come again. Number two, did you notice? You're probably wondering, well, why did they say that? They went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is he is the king of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, that comes from Psalm 118. And during this time, which is there's a collection of 5-6 Psalms, and they would read those on the festival. And during the festival, this is one of the Psalms they would read. But when it says Hosanna, that means save us. We pray. Save us. When they're saying Hosanna, that's what it means. Now, what I want you to hear is why they're doing it. They're saying, save us. Well, they want an earthly king. They want him to save them from the Roman empires. They're to save us. But in some ways, in a big way, that is how he's coming. He's coming as the Savior to bring salvation. John 1:29, the prophet John, his cousin, introduced him as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. So he's a king that comes. He's a king that brings salvation. Now, the next thing I want to jump back to is, why are they waving palm branches? It seems kind of weird. In other gospels, we know this one story is in 4 gospels. You don't always see that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But it is. It tells you it's pretty important. They're laying cloth down. So they're just waving them. Well, palms, first of all, were plentiful in Israel. And it was a symbol of victory. In fact, when they had a great military victory by the Maccabees, they waved it showing victory. So when they're waving those palm trees, it reminds us he's a king that is a victorious king. And then they say, blessed is the king, that was who he is, of Israel. Israel, God had given those promises, he's that king. That cometh in the name of the Lord. He's the Lord's king. He is the Lord's king. If you want to know who it is we will bow to, it is Jesus Christ, who is the Lord's king. And they had quoted that psalm, even though they don't understand it, because in a very short time, this same crowd is going to be yelling, crucify him. They're going to reject him. So we remember, number one, he's the king that comes. Number two, he's the king of salvation, king of victory. He's the Lord's king. Now, let's turn to something else that's interesting. In Jesus, when he had found a young ass, that's only mentioned here in the Bible, this term, he is coming to Jerusalem. Somewhere along the way, he finds a young colt. Why does he do that? And set there on it, as it is written. Well, before we get to the passage he's going to read and explain it, a colt was the steed that communicated peace. If you have read about Jesus' second coming, let me read you Revelation 19:11. Because Jesus will return. He's not going to be riding on a colt. So a conquering king would never, ever have been riding on a little donkey. I know that sounds weird for us, but 19:11, listen to this. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. This is verse 12. And he had a name written that no man knows but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So you see, in his second coming, he's coming on a white horse. And that's a war horse, because he's coming that all the nations will bow. He's going to set up his millennial kingdom. So when we go back to this, him riding on a donkey is a reminder that he comes as a king offering the nation of Israel and people there peace. He wants to give them peace. He doesn't want to make them force them to bow. He wants them to submit and bow and to experience the peace that passes all understanding, the peace of a relationship with Jesus Christ. At the end of John chapter 16, he mentions this whole peace again. Where is true peace found? Everybody wants peace, but where is it really found? People are like, I need peace of mind. I need that. And I've declared, here's what it says. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Peace is found in Jesus Christ. And he's offering it to them and to us. He's coming in on this little colt. Next, let's go on and look at what they say, because this comes from Jeremiah chapter 9. As it is written, fear not, daughters of Zion. Daughters of Zion would have been Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Who is coming? The king that was to bring redemption, the king for Israel, the king for Jerusalem, the king for the world. He's like, don't be fearful. Your king is coming. Right there is a little side note. If you're somebody that struggles with fear, get your eyes on Jesus, because it reminds you he's conquered anything you're going through. When I take my eyes off Jesus, I take my eyes off the one who's truly in control and truly able to and will reign and has power. So take it to heart. Fear not, because here's your king. It matters who your king is, because every king, well, like I said, they're not going to last forever. Every king has a shelf life. Jesus has no shelf life. He said, Allah, fear not, daughters of Zion. Ooh, that's good. Behold, why? The king cometh sitting on the asses. So he is the king that is coming and has come. He's the king of that brings salvation. He's the king of victory. He's the king that offers peace. Another point I want to make. What else about the king? These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, when he died, these things were written of him that they had done these things unto him. Did you notice a couple times that it is written, as it is written? Well, specifically that time. What I want you to know, he's a king that was promised. All the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. He is a king that God has promised. And then also, there's one more point I want to make about the king. It's in verse 17. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave. In other words, he rose Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. Let me read that to you right over here. Just one chapter over. Jesus comes to town. One of his friends is died. And look at what happens. It's verse number, chapter 11, verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. He is a powerful king. I love how John works back in the reality of what he's been doing with his miracles. There's seven key miracles in John. And they all show his power in him being God. And he's not a weak king. He's a humble king. But I like how it says, the people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. They knew who it was. But he's also a rejected king. Look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees, now, before, in chapter 12, verse 10, but the chief priests and consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They've already made a decision. They're going to kill Christ. They've been very intentional about it. It's 11:53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. They're working hard to kill Christ. And what we see here is they rejected him because they're like, oh my gosh, perceive ye how we prevail. We're not making any headway. The whole world, everybody we see is going after Christ. Well, that's superficial because that's not going to be true. In a very short time, that same group's going to be saying, crucify him, and all are going to reject him. And finally, it's just subtle, but we see these Gentiles, these Greeks. Acts 6:1, if they would have been Jews, it probably would have said Grecian Jews, like in Acts 6:1, but here we call them Greeks. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship the festival. So they probably had converted to Judaism, but they were Gentiles. They come up to the festival. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. You'll see what he answers next week. But let me say this, that highlights John 3, for God so loved the world that Jesus first came to the Jewish nation, but second, he came for the whole world, all of us. And you see right there, it's kind of subtle, but it's amazing. So there you have it. This is our king. He is the coming king. He came. He's the king that brings salvation. He's the victorious king. He's the king of peace. He's the promised king. He's the powerful king. And he's the king that is rejected or believed on. So I have a question. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? I hope so. Don't reject him like the Pharisees. Be somebody that says yes to King Jesus. Because if you don't do it now, one day he's going to return and every knee will bow. If you want to believe in him, commit to him, why don't you pray with me? Tell God, say, God, I don't understand all of it. I believe you died for me, rose from the dead, and you are going to be my king. I turn my life over to you. I turn from anything else, and I commit my life to you. You are my king. I accept your offer of peace. I accept your offer of victory. I accept your offer of salvation. Well, that will do it for now, but let's finish off with one more great song. As long as you got Jesus, you got all you need. Do you know that? Thanks for being with me. I hope you'll be back next Sunday. Tell a friend. You can find me on By the Bible on YouTube, or if you're in Akatan, come on out to church. We meet 1 p.m. on Sundays and 7:30 p.m., and then 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday is Bible study. The other times are, of course, for service on Sunday. I'll see you next time, and let's remember, if we got Jesus, we got all we need. Before I get out of here, I do want to say, please reach out to the station and tell them how much you appreciate them, apradio.org. Give them a call. They do a great job, the entire radio family over there. I'm so appreciative of them, and I know you are too. You have a local public radio station. Isn't that awesome?
God bless you. Please pray for me. I'll pray for you. And let's continue to remember Jesus is our hope.
I want you to know, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Do you hear me what I say? Long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Come on. I feel like having a little church this evening.
Oh, Lord, us.